Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord your God is with thee. Blessed are you to bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours. The Spirit is upon you. You will be with child. Do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace.
Talk about Mary this morning in a certain way, and my brain has been so captivated by that, I have to say I forgot to get communion service. So Penny, would you three please help us, and then find a fourth person. Thank you. Amen. You pray your way.
You on? Is your mic on?
I hope I'm on. Am I on? I'm on. I'm so not on, but I'm on. I really did want to talk about Mary this morning, and we go back and forth about these things, and I swear I talked about her last year, but when I actually checked, it was 2011, so that was kind of scary, too. I wanted to show you all of the ways that she's been depicted in art throughout the ages, because that always helps me. And then I really wanted to explain to you about how her mere presence, Mary's, in the Bible is a feminist statement that harkens back to ancient worship, when we actually weren't afraid to acknowledge the male and femaleness that is represented in deities. And I really wanted to opine on the heaviness and the power of patriarchy, which has stripped Mary of her power and made her into a lowly, sweet little handmaiden. Just like it does to the rest of us women. And I really did want to do that, and I wanted to do it a lot, and I thought about it, and I argued with a friend who I might have raised my voice to just a little bit, just so I can process, and my kitchen table might have heard a very strident reading on Thursday night. But it didn't seem like enough this time. Or this week. It just didn't. And so then this is what happens in a preacher's brain. Then I went back to the story of our church And that kind of seemed like we'd told it so many times, but that's always where I go, is the story of this church when I need hope. So I went there, and then I started listening to music, which is also what I do, and then I was reading the news, and then I was just completely drawn back to the story of Jesus. And I kept remembering, it was stuck in my brain, this really simple sermon that I had heard a long time ago on a cassette tape. It was such a simple sermon, too simple, really. That was part of my problem, I think. So I dug it up and I listened again. And this is not that sermon, but it's kind of close to that sermon, inspired by that sermon. Because sometimes, even though you travel all the way around the world, you end up right back where you started. It seems impossible, but for the day, nothing is impossible. That's where we are today. Nothing is impossible with God. At least nothing is supposed to be impossible with God. Maybe you've heard that phrase in your life. People say it. I've heard it. It's kind of like a proverb, though, right, when it's used. And just to be clear, a proverb is a short saying that a culture uses that generally speaks the truth, although it is true. It's not like it's really deep, though. So it's stuff like, you're not sugar, you won't melt, go ahead, walk in the rain, right? I mean, that's true. We're all the same under our skin. Everybody is equal. Heard that. Better to be safe than sorry. That's a proverb. One of my favorites. Better to ask for forgiveness than permission. I like that one. When we all see justice, we'll all see peace. Yeah. Measure twice, cut once. Now that is absolutely true, though. I live with a contractor. Measure twice, cut once. Some things like that just really are true. So, nothing is impossible with God. When things are true like that, it should make it easier on the preacher. It could, because we don't have to do a whole lot of research, really. You don't have to consult all the commentaries. Everybody's heard that phrase before. Truth is truth. And I don't think I have to sell you on that. But still, well, the truth is, it makes me uncomfortable to just stand up here and say, nothing is impossible with God. Because it sounds kind of trite. Or worse, which really makes me uncomfortable, it sounds a little immature. Nothing is impossible with God. There's this children's book that I really have appreciated over time. It's called Anything is Possible. Yeah, there they are. They're best friends, kind of like. It's a sheep and a wolf. So that starts you off right there, right? The sheep is a dreamer and the wolf is a realist. I'm just going to leave you guessing. The wolf becomes intrigued by the can-do attitude of the friend and is convinced that she can create a flying machine that's going to give all new views over the whole world. It's a sheep and a wolf. I told you that part. Predator and prey. Really good friends. It's a children's book. It's really sweet. And the truth is, I want my children to believe that all things are possible. We do. All things. I want them to believe that, from inventing flying machines, to graduating from college, to reversing global warming, to sheep and wolves getting along. I want them to believe that nothing is impossible with God. But sometimes that can sound like a fairy tale or a children's book. It can sound dumb. Now, we all know, though, that people do things that sound like fairy tales. Like, people sleep, And when you wake up in the morning, gifts appear. This really happens. From fairies who tiptoe through our houses, and they go right to our pillow, and they know exactly where that is and when to do it. To elaborately decorated trees that are transformed overnight. That sounds maybe like a fairy tale, but it's true. And people anchor their very lives with this kind of truth. When some things are on the surface, not humanly possible, we still anchor ourselves with the possibility that they will happen. And this passage, this phrase, you heard Matt read it. It comes to us from the Bible. It's scriptural. Nothing is impossible with God, especially in situations and circumstances in which the impossible seems to be exactly what is necessary for the future to unfold. So 5 years ago, we sat in a room during the summer with a few of the historic members of this church, Central United Methodist, and we said, if we continue with business as usual, by January, we will have spent all of our undesignated savings. And by next May, we then said, we will have spent all of our designated savings, and then we won't even be able to pay our bills anymore. And by next June, there will be absolutely no more money for this place. And Linda Ramirez said, and I remember, nothing is impossible with God. When I was young and I was in the sixth grade, the best friend of our principal, Mr. Caligari, was a POW. And we all wore bracelets, everyone in our school, with Mr. Caligari's best friend's name on it. It was etched into the metal. I didn't know what a POW bracelet really was. And some of you, I just dated myself, that's all right, you might not know. But we wore those, 1972. And I could hear the adults around me with confidence saying, nothing is impossible with God. And they'd hold their bracelet. I've heard it uttered in hospital rooms, right after a diagnosis is delivered. Something like, there really is no treatment for what you have. And the person says, but Pastor, the partner is talking to me, but Pastor, nothing is impossible with God, right? And I know what I'm supposed to say. I've heard it lifted up after Rodney King, after Oscar Grant. I've heard it sung as people light candles and hold vigils. Nothing is impossible with God. People are imprisoned disproportionately, African American to white, in our prisons, on death row, sentences that are hopeless. There are last-ditch appeals, and people hold on to this truth, and it keeps them sane, and it keeps them hopeful, and their families. It keeps them alive. I don't really think we should give up hoping. Our country has struggled with racial tension, our whole history, specifically with repenting for our white racism, for as long as I can remember and longer, because I'm younger in this room than some of us who have been at it a long time. And we hear calls for reconciliation. But, you know, before we can reconcile, we got to repent. And we get asked to reconcile, reconcile, reconcile. But if you don't talk about your crap, you can't. So when we all see justice, we'll all see peace. I believe that, but I also believe we're captive and held captive by our deep fear about saying what we need to say and loving the way we need to love. And we heard Michael Franti's song, his words, I'm not saying that I am any better. All I'm just trying to say is we can all do a lot better. A revolution is a battle between the future and the past, but the battle's never over and the future's going to last. When we all see justice, we'll all see peace. And he doesn't sing it, but I hear in that nothing is impossible with God. especially since I know he was raised Lutheran in a small, tiny little church. Because you see, some people believe that the church itself is a dead institution, that the church itself is irrelevant, and it's no longer the place to incubate any kind of social change, let alone to birth a new movement of peace and justice. And that's what I think he means when he says it's the same as it ever was. But then he tags it, but we can start the change. If you can't find the opportunity to get to repentance in church, then I don't know where you find it. So that's when dreams happen, like, what if we just start meeting together then? And checking in with each other. It doesn't sound really deep. What if we wondered about our souls and hold on to each other tenderly as we share about how we're trying to do some good and try to refrain from doing harm? And what if we just try to love God together? What if we build relationships with that little group of people? Oh, I know what'll happen. You can't have a church with just one group. That's what they say. How are you going to get more people to come? And if you kind of get it to work, there is no possible way you can sustain a church that has two pastors and pays your musicians living wages. You can't do it. Nothing is impossible with God. We are in this together, and there are people in this room. I know it. I'm not going to look right at you, but there are people in this room who have never had yet a Christmas Eve candlelight worship experience. They never have had it. Ever. There are people in this room who have never yet gotten out of their bed at dark 30 in the morning and driven to a park and greeted the dawn by claiming the resurrection of Jesus. You're sitting next to people like that. There are really wealthy people in this room. There are unemployed people in this room. There are doubters in this room. There are police officers in this room. There are people in the military in this room, and social workers and therapists and activists for peace and nonviolent practitioners. There are people in this room that have really a little bit of faith, and those who have carried their faith, they just don't even remember when it began. We know there are vegans in this room. That's us. And there are carnivores. We know there are CrossFitters and very proud couch surfers. You stand by that if that's what you want. Or sit by it. There are people in this room who eat at McDonald's and other people who will shop nowhere but the co-op. I mean, all means all in this room, as best we can, this motley crew. Because nothing is impossible with God. There are actually people here who show up early and help with whatever is necessary, folks who walk in and spend the rest of the morning on the floor with other people's children. Some of them have never even had children of their own, and they do that. Some people come here just to make sure we're still alive, and some people simply need a place to touch base every once in a while. Other people who just call this place home, don't worry about any of those things. They just come. And because of that, in this room, the line between I'm new and I attend here has grown increasingly faint. And we actually kind of go, hi, do I know you? Yeah, you kind of do. I'm like, I'm sorry. And we try to be kind about that, because this is a church that wants to grow. That's what we want. But you know, sometimes that's not exactly what happens. And sometimes people end up, I don't think they mean it, but sometimes they end up destroying themselves in spite of themselves. You know, there was a church one time that had a few folks in it, and that church said that they wanted to grow. And that church said they wanted to make a change. And new people would come in, and those church people would welcome them, and they would ask them what their name was and how long had it been since they had actually been to a church. And they told them, this is how you do church, just so the people would get it exactly right, you know. And they let them know what the seating was and where they could be assigned. They made sure that the carpets were always clean and that any stray liquids were immediately cleaned up. And they made sure the people knew who was part owners of the church and who wasn't. And they made sure that the pastor absolutely knew how to behave properly. And they made sure that the people there were true Christians and real Methodists, not just fakers. They made sure. And I knew these people very well. And I wondered about how they came to live this way. And I wondered what they would do, or who they were going to call when no one wanted to preach there anymore or teach there anymore. I really wondered that. I still wonder. And I really have no idea. I don't stand here having an answer how that church is ever going to change ever. I don't think they can ever grow. But nothing is impossible with God. And that's what the angel's message was to Mary, right? My favorite preacher writes, his name's Fred Craddock. Sorry. I realize that. We just love him so much, and he writes it so much better than I can a lot of times. And he took these two situations that were in the Bible, and he told me, or he wrote it, there are only two places in the whole Bible where this message happens. Only two. Now that's interesting to me, because I kind of thought nothing was impossible with God would be all over the place. But he says there's only two, and that they're different. They're similar, but they're different. And that was intriguing. So I followed his line. He says once in the Hebrew scriptures, it's there, and once in the New Testament. And in the Hebrew scripture, it's a story very close to my heart. It's my own story in Genesis 18. Abraham and Sarah have no kids. She's barren. They're barren. They're very old. And a messenger comes to their tent one day and says, you're going to have children, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to have a son, and from your son will come a whole nation, and that nation will bless the world. And Sarah laughs. She says, are you serious? And she had a son, and she names him Isaac, which means laughter, because it was so funny to her that this would actually ever happen, finally. And from Isaac, her son, we trace a whole nation, and we call that nation Israel. And the people of Israel, even though they were enslaved and persecuted and murdered and shunned and marginalized and unwelcome, they gave the whole world the foundation of our faith. Because it's from Isaac through Israel that we know you should love the Lord your God with all your mind and your heart and your soul and your strength and your neighbor as you should love yourself. That's where that comes from. And that all started with a messenger to an old couple. And Craddock says that's similar, but it's different, because that messenger said that nothing is impossible to God. To God. So the shift is in the New Testament with Mary. The messenger comes, and Mary's a teenage girl, and she's unmarried, but she's betrothed, but she's unmarried. And the messenger says, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be a blessing to the world. Really? Really? And that's what happened. And he was mistreated and denied and mocked and abandoned and questioned and accused and executed. And even so, he continues to show up. And wherever he shows up, the people are loved. and their hearts are warmed, and their burdens are shared, and their fears seem less, and repentance is possible when he shows up. People find hope when he shows up. They do things like give each other slippers and pajamas and diapers and baby wipes. Those are life-changing things. They're not insignificant. When he shows up, people cook meals and mop floors and clean bathrooms for each other. People try harder to get along, and people say, "I'm sorry for how I've hurt you." And people ask, "How can I help you?" That's their first question. See, Mary said, like maybe we do, "How can this be?" Because when these messages come, we don't get it. She didn't get it. She was perplexed. She was confused. And the angel in this case said, the truth is, nothing is impossible with God. With. She's going to co-create. And it's been about 2,000 years now, give or take a few, since that happened, since God gave a child to an old couple in a tent in the desert. It's been about 2,000 years. But it changed the world then. And then God gave a child to a teenage girl in northern Israel, and God changed the world again. God gave a church, all of y'all. Just look at yourselves. You can't see you like I do. You're beautiful. God changed the world again. And we're going to try again on February 1st because we're going to go to two services. And our room's going to like feel not so full, and that's going to be scary. But I think God gave us the courage, is giving us the courage to invite more people since we're filling so many seats. And I think God's changing the world again by giving a whole host of new people courage to take to the streets right now and to hold up signs that say Black Lives Matter and I Can't Breathe and I Am the Change and Be the Change. So, if all that can happen, so much of it already has. Why would you ever? Why do I ever, always, give up? Why do I give up hope? Give up wondering? Why would we dare to do that? I don't know if we'll ever learn the lesson. Nothing is impossible with God. So, today, again, let's write it down. Or what works for you? Text it. Make it your status update. Write a song if you're Michael Franti or those people. Snapchat it. Do whatever it takes to write it on your heart. Here's the words. Nothing is
Amen. Same as it ever was, but there's gotta be a better way. Same as it ever was, today's a different day. You and me could make that change, but it's the same as it ever was. We better start today. America's a better place than it was 50 years ago. There's been a whole lot of change, but we got a long way to go. When we used to have a problem, we used to call the police. But who we gonna call when The police make a problem. I'm not saying that they all bad. I'm not saying that I'm any better. All I'm just trying to say is we could all do a lot better. I say it in my own house, and I say it on the street. I say it in the church, yo, and I say it on the beat. I paint it on the wall, yo, so everybody sees. When we all see justice, then we'll all see peace. It's the same as it ever was, but there's gotta be a better way. It's the same as it ever was, but today's a different day. You and me could make that change, but it's the same as it ever was. We better start today. A revolution is a battle between the future and the past. The battle's never over, but the future's gonna last. Malcolm had an ex, yo, and the king had a dream. And like Spike Lee said, yo, you should always do the right thing. If the world's full of anger and everybody's got a gun, then what should I say, yo, to my teenage son? Mandela did a lockdown for 28 years, but there's millions more, y'all, still raining down tears. I say it in my own house, and I say it on the street. I say it on the record, yo, and I say it on the beat. I paint it on the wall, yo, till everybody sees. When we all see justice, then we'll all see peace. It's the same as it ever was. There's gotta be a better way. It's the same as it ever was, but today's a different day. You and me could make that change, but it's the same as it ever was. We better start today. They can try to divide us. They can try to increase all the pain and the suffering, but this is anybody's street. There's just one love, yo, and there's just one beat. And we all see justice, then we'll all see peace. It's the same as it ever was,
same as
but there's
it
gotta
ever
be
was.
A better way.
Gotta
it's
be
the same
better
as
way.
It ever was.
Better way.
Today's a different day. You and me could make that change.
Could make that
it's the
change.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever
we
was.
We better start to. Same
better
as it ever was. It's the same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
There's gotta be a better way.
Gotta be a better way.
It's the same as it ever was.
Same as it ever
today's
was.
Today's a different day. You and me could make that change. It's the same as it ever was. We better start today. It's the same as it ever was. We better start today. It's the same as it ever was. We better start today.